Today I'm talking about finding freedom in the fast. I'm going to talk from Isaiah 58. It says, cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours of this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? What I'm talking about today is we need to draw nearer and let go. Lord, we come before you right now. Lord, what you're talking to the people of Israel at this time, Lord, is they were fasting. They were going through the motions of what they're supposed to do, but their hearts weren't in it. They were still clinging to their wicked ways. They were still living for themselves, Lord God. And fasting is not a time where we do certain things so that you reward us. Fasting is a time when we say no to ourselves so that we can draw near to you. Father, I pray today that you're calling your people in this day and age closer and closer to you, Lord. And I pray that we would respond. Lord, Isaiah, we're going to look at in a little while. Isaiah 58 talks about the fast. And what are the actions of your people supposed to be to reach out to those in need? We're supposed to get close to you, be filled with your spirit, so that we can receive your love and pour it out in needy people that need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that you've called us to a day such as this, that you have chosen us to be your ambassadors, to be your servants. But Lord, we have to get out of our own way sometime. We have to not be ruled by emotions. We have to not be ruled by the discouragement that comes so often in life. But to know, Lord God, that you will make a way where there seems to be no way. Lord, let this be a day of encouragement. Let us lift our heads up on high. Amen. There's a man named Charles Kingsley, and he said, there are two kinds of freedom. The false, where a man is free to do what he likes, and the true, where he is free to do what he ought. You know, the scriptures tell us in John, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And, you know, Peter Mayer, I'm not going to go on that verse much because he's coming in September. I've asked him to preach on that verse because I want us to understand the freedom that God gives us is a freedom to quit looking in the mirror. It's the freedom not to live, to eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we might die, but it's the freedom to do what God wants me to do. And when I walk in obedience, man, there is no greater joy. I cheer for the Detroit Tigers. They had a no-hitter they threw yesterday. That does not compare to the joy of following Christ. You know, God talks about humility. He talks about kindness. He talks about compassion. These need to be words that describe how we live our lives. You know, the temptation to be overly concerned about me is so strong. It's what society just shoves down our throats day after day. The mission of this church, the vision of this church is living the love of Christ. You know, my neighbor had his deck torn down and his backyard is just full of garbage. You know, and they have this little trailer out front, so little by little he takes some and puts it in. And I'm thinking, you know what? I want to start a helping hand ministry at New Covenant where we could go to him and say, you know what? We're going to send 5 to 10 people over and we're going to knock that out in 15 minutes. That is where we're going to make an impact. And you know what? I'm going to be preaching on this in the next month or so, and I am going to start that ministry, that we can do practical things to show the love of God to this community, which opens up the door for the gospel to be heard. We pray and fast. We're having a day of prayer and fasting, not because it's a nice religious thing to do, but it's because I want to say no to me so I can understand who Jesus is and I can live more and more. We need to draw near, and we need to let go. You know, my first point is, God don't play. God is serious. I was listening to this guy on the radio, and I loved what he said. You know, when we talk about God, we love the ooey and gooey, that he just loves everybody, and God is love, and, you know, it's just like a warm cookie and a puppy. God is a God of judgment, where if you die without him, you're going to hell. Let's get real. And we're here to show God's love. I mean, God loves us, but he ain't playing, church. He's telling us, come back to me fully. But God, I got this planned. Did you pray about it first? What's that old saying? You want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans. My life has been so disrupted by God. I wish he would look at my date timer. And yes, I still have a date timer. I write in it sometimes. Why? I'm old and I'm comfortable doing that. If I put it in my phone, it ain't going to be seen. God is telling the Israelites, I am not happy with your fast. And guess what? I am not listening to you. But God hears everybody's prayer. If you're in rebellion, one ear out the other, why would he listen to that? Unless it's first couched with, Father, forgive me for my sins. I don't want us, let's use the New Testament term, don't be a Pharisee. The older I've gotten, I have seen how in my life, I was such a Pharisee. When I love New Covenant Church. I love gospel outreach. But there was a lot of legalistic teachings that in love went on. And I realized one of the things that God has been doing in my life the last 6 years is, let me define who you are. Let's look at your word and let me tell you. You know, you don't eat this, don't drink that, don't say that word, don't listen to Neil Young, or you're going to hell. It's all this stuff. Now, there has to be a balance, but what I'm saying is, there's freedom in Christ, not freedom to sin. Please don't hear that. But we put burdens on people that we have made more important. We have added it to God's word. You know, I belong to two different pastors group, and it's funny, I belong to this one up north, and we have some spirit-filled Pentecostals that are way over there, and then we have some Mennonites that are way over here. But you know what? We get along. Why? We concentrate on Jesus. I had a good buddy of mine. He goes to I don't want to say a not spirit-filled church, but a not charismatic church. Said, "Hey, dude, I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna speak in tongues." And he had a good laugh. And I met years ago. I'm from Morrisville, New York area. And there's a pastor from Earlville, he had a Methodist church, and we're talking, and he had gone to Believer's Chapel and had a whole new life in the Lord. He goes, "Hey, you want to come and speak on tongues in my church?" I said, "Yeah, no, that ain't going to happen. I'll come and I will speak, but that is your job. Don't make me do the heavy lifting." I didn't mean to, and again, I'm not pushing that topic, because you know what, I need to concentrate on Jesus. Psalm 139, I would ask you this week to read Psalm 139, to pray through it and just to read it. It goes, "Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me." I want you to get brave. I want you to really, I don't know, be a spiritual Rambo. I'm trying to think of somebody, you know, really masculine. I don't want to say be a spiritual Beaumont. That's not what I mean. But what I want you to do is I want you to take a piece of paper And I want you to read Psalm 139, and I want you to say, God, examine me, show me the places that you want me to change. And you know what I know about God? I love him so much, and he does. He shows me places where I need to grow, where I need to let go of myself. Because I want to tell you something about my opinions. Man, they are right. I love me some me. My opinions, I think of the 11th commandment at times. And when I think like that, and you're all looking at me laughing, you're the same way, then God humbles us. Because he reminds me, hey, Dick, you're not God. Right. So God don't play. God wants us to get serious. In this day and age, you know, you look at the political climate, you look at all these different things going on in America, and I've heard so many prophetic things about gloom and doom. I've heard so many pastors say, America, man, you know, we might be headed to an end. And God, we might be. Do I think the golden age of America is over? I do. We need to humble ourselves. We said no to God for too long. But God didn't respond to the Israelites' fast and prayers because they were superficial. Now, you know what I love about our days of prayer and fasting? When we started in, I think it was March, we had 3 days. And I had people come up to me and say, man, I didn't eat for 3 days. You know how cool that is? And I had people come up to me and go, man, God's really moving when I fast. This is good, but let's expand it from 1 day a month to our lives. We can't say, this 1 day, I'm going to be super Christian. You know, I was sharing with the Bible study guys I'm in years ago. Man, back in 1987, I knew that I was being considered for a job with the church. And, you know, it was like 3 days before the decision was made. And this lovely lady here in the gold yellow shirt said to me, hey, if you don't get the job, are you still going to be as good a Christian as you have been the last month when you're under consideration? How dare she? You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? Are you? She's speaking my words to you. Whew. We got to look at our motives. You know, I was talking to somebody this weekend, you know, I'm going to get the guy's name wrong. He's a pro wrestler, John something Sienna, something like that. He holds the world record for answering Thank you. And that's hard to do with hearing aids and these fans going, but I heard it. But you know what I like about it? When he goes and does his make-a-wish, he doesn't take a film crew with him. I'm tired of seeing rock stars and movie stars going to the hospital to see these sick little kids, and there's happened to be a TV crew with them. We're called to show the love of Jesus Christ, not so people look at us, but that they look at him. Pure self-denial is seeking God's help without trying to manipulate him. I like what Mike Stahl used to say about fasting. Fasting isn't twisting God's arm. Hey, look what I'm doing. I'm not eating ho-hos for a whole day. Would you answer my prayer and give me that new Toyota Highlander? And if God puts it on your heart, there's a silver blue I like, and I live. No, anyways, but it's like, God, why do I fast? Because I want to be more like Jesus in my life, and I fall so short. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I love basketball. I like watching the NBA. You know, this is the free agent season, and you see people signing for $260 million. And I love it when they say, well, I got to watch out for my family. Why do you need $260 million? There's a professional soccer player in Europe, and they were laughing at him because his cell phone has a crack on the screen. And the guy makes millions of dollars. Why would you carry that around? He said, is it more important for me to have a nice phone or to send money back to my village so they can have a hospital. You know, Joseph Anochi, our friend from Ghana that used to come here, when I was up north, he'd come and spend a week with me, and we'd give him a really good honorarium, and he wouldn't spend it. He'd go home to Ghana, and he would give it to different students so that they could go to school. The guy made like 78 bucks a month. I think he could afford to maybe spend it on himself. You see, that's why I want to fast. I want God to break the bondage of me, and I have it very strong. I want him to break the bondage of my opinions, what I want to see have done, what I want to accomplish in my life. See, I want to be set free. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I think it's Paul, and I think it's in Romans where he writes to the Jews, you know, if I could give up my salvation for you, I would do that. Think about that. He wasn't wasting words. This man was saying, I would go to hell if it meant you get heaven. Wow. I got to admit, I struggle with that. Because I kind of look forward to heaven. But we need to be set free. We can't get overly concerned with our perspectives. You know, one of the things I like about being on the school board, we have some younger blood there, and they have different opinions, they have different energies, they have different things they want to do. And me, because I'm not young anymore, I sometimes, my head spins, but it works. I say, you know what, we gotta step back and let this take place, and then it works out, and that's called humility. And that's what I find out in our life. You know, Lord, we need to step back and let you move. You see, the Israelites were fasting, but their days of fasting put them in a bad mood, and they started to get violent toward each other. Somebody gave my wife a sign for her birthday, no talkie before coffee. Well, I get that. I mean, if I miss breakfast, I can be in a pretty bad mood, you know what I'm saying? Don't even get that gray oatmeal toward my face. We fast to humble ourselves and be filled with God. I had the coolest thing happen the other night. I did something wild. Friday night, I stayed up past midnight. I don't do that on New Year's Eve. We had company, whatever, boom. So I wake up at like 2 in the morning, and I just felt the presence of God. I didn't pray. I didn't talk. I said, thank you, Lord. And I just laid in bed. It was like for 5 minutes. There was no glow in the room. I just knew it was the quiet hand of God telling me, I got this, and I want you to move forward. And I know it's not going to be easy. When Paul wrote, I press on, he wasn't in a barco lounger. He's saying, life is going to be hard. There's a spiritual fight that we have. And I think I can relate to the Israelites, where when I fast, I have my opinions on what God could do. You know what I found out about fasting? Life doesn't open up and all of a sudden you go into this magic place. Sometimes the warfare, it just gets worse and worse because the enemy doesn't want us to do this. Our vision as a church, and my vision as a Christian, needs to be displaying Jesus to a world that's in desperate need of him. People have asked me, do you have a vision? And I'm sorry, I think from day one, people know my vision. Love Jesus, commit your life more to him, and love people that don't know him with the love of Jesus Christ. That is our vision. That is my vision. We fast to put ourselves in a place of humility so we can hear from God. We step away from the clutter of thoughts and noise that happens in our minds so often. When I fast, I don't go on the phone all the time. My son-in-law was telling me about, there's a company. Good job. For 8 hours a day, you had to keep your phone in your locker. One young man worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He was a phenomenal worker. At the end of Friday, he goes, I can't do this. I can't be away from my phone so much. Do you think maybe that's kind of the plan of the enemy? I'm not addicted. Okay. Wednesday, don't turn your phone on. Don't use it. Not to text. Only answer it like a telephone. That'd be hard for me. You know it'd be hard for you. Some of you, I should say. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say we need God. I get a weekly report on my phone that, hey, you spent this. I remember one time it was almost, you spent like 4 hours a day on your phone. Well, I realized I went to Southern Maryland and I used a GPS, so that made me feel a little better because that's an 8-hour trip. But what I'm saying is, wow, how much time did I spend? You know, what'd you do if God did that to us? Hey, you spent 48 seconds in the Bible this week. Yay! Okay, moving right along. We don't fast for God to move because of our great sacrifice. We're praying before the service today. I'm going to tell you what God's been speaking to me for years. There is a fear he wants to take off of our shoulders. There's a fear that says, I don't know if God can use me. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can share with people. And you know what? God is positioning. No, he is moving, but he wants us to not be captured by that fear. You know, I'm not going to do the next few verses, but in Isaiah 58, it goes on to say, this is the kind of fast, share your bread with the hungry, bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him. And God said, then your light is going to break forth like the dawn. So, when does God answer? When we have genuine repentance. Verse 9 says, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here am I. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, when we repent and say, God, here am I. Last week, we handed a handout about different things we could collect for backpacks for Victory Transformation. In the next couple weeks, you know, I'm going to hand out a list for the Family Resource Center. I'm going to hand out lists because we support the Human Concern Center. We need to get involved. We need to be doing things. We need to, hey, Pastor, you talked about helping hands. You know, maybe we're going to paint somebody's room. Maybe we're going to help him move junk. Maybe somebody needs, I don't know, their deck repaired. We can do that. Let's get involved with our community. Let's say, God, how can I get busy with the right things? God answers us when we repent. When we say, God, forgive me, let's move forward. You know, John Newton wrote the book Amazing Grace. He was a slave trader. One of the ugliest sins that we know of, he was involved with, and Jesus Christ got a hold of him, and he went from being a slave trader to a man who worked hard to abolish slavery in England. That's repentance. That is God getting a hold of you. That is God saying, you know what? I want you to work for me. It's easy to watch the news, and it's easy to get upset. I don't know what your political views are, but if we see Biden and Trump again, we are going to be living a Saturday Night Live skit up close and personal. I mean, talk about a sense of humor. And if I'm offending you, whoa, that ain't the answer. Jesus is the answer for this nation. And guess what? He wants to use you and he wants to use me to touch this community. John Newton became a new man when Jesus got a hold of him. What do you think he felt when he looked at his past life and he saw the ugliness of what he did? I've been to Ghana quite a few times on missions trip, and we go past Cape Coast and this other place where there's a castle where they would separate the slaves and they would send them. And I went with a pastor friend of mine, and he said it is the most oppressed, demonic place you ever want to go. John Newton was involved in that ugliness, but then he became a new man under Jesus Christ. Because he found out what pleases God is deeds of unselfish personal sacrifice, not false humility disguised by fasting. Faith is when we submit to God to help other people, to point them to the Lord. You know, verses 6 through 10 talked about we need to care for the homeless, for the needy. Can I say something? It's awkward at times, you know, because we have second chances downstairs. You know, and they give away furniture and clothing. And sometimes it makes it a little unclean, a little awkward around the church during the week. And in a perfect world, I wouldn't have to deal with that. But this ain't no perfect world. I gotta be bothered for God. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think God's timing is really bad. Because when I'm tired, when I just want to exist, that's when God opens the door for me to do something. But you know what I learned when I do that? He gives us grace to do whatever he calls us to do. You see, living the love of Jesus is not easy. I need his strength. I need his grace. I want to live the words of Paul. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer me who lives. Jesus Christ now lives in me. We're not going to seek fanfare recognition. You guys know, I told you a year or two ago that one of the things God's been speaking to me for this church is service and humility. We're not here to start a ministry where everybody goes, wow, look at that. We're here to serve those in need so that people can be pointed to Jesus Christ. I was listening to Pastor Chip Ingram this week. And I like what he says. He goes, man, I hate it when people say, I go to such and such a church. I go to Chip Ingram's church. He says, when people say that and I'm there, I go, oh, really? I go to New Covenant Church. His wife goes, man, you're rude. He goes, well, I'm making a point. It ain't my church. It's not about me. See, that's what God is saying to us. Are we willing to serve and maybe not even get any credit for it? Are you just serving to let people know? Because, you know, Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Let's close with this. Let's strive to live the love of Jesus Christ. And our words, not, this is what I want to say, but would Jesus say this? The goal of fasting is to become more like Jesus. Fasting is humbling ourselves for God and acknowledge your need for Jesus. Again, I would ask you to read through Psalm 139, read through the Psalm, and just say, Lord, show me the places where I got to let go and be more like you. And we come before you right now, Lord. We need you. I need you. I see where I fall short. But let us not either get caught up in our shortcomings. Let us turn from them to repent, which means don't live that way anymore, to ask you to forgive us and then to move forward. Lord, I'm excited by the days of prayer and fasting that we've had. I know as a pastor that those days, those meetings aren't the ones that encourage people and tickle their fancy. But we've been responding, Lord. That is so cool. And I pray, Lord, that we won't be like the Israelites, that we will be meek and humble, that when we fast, Lord, and I know when I fast, I'm going to be have the urge to eat this, to drink that. But just to humble myself, to show you how much I love you, how much I want to submit my life for you. We sang about that today, Lord God. It has to be about you, even when I want it to be about me. And I pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged. Lord, I see this church as a dynamo, a loaded powder keg that you just want to burn the wick, and we're going to explode for you in this community, Lord. Lord, I do pray in moving forward that you would give us vision for Helping Hands, that you would give us vision. How can we practically show the love of Jesus Christ to other people, which will then open the door for us to share our hearts, Lord God? You are the way. You are the truth. You're the life. You tell us nobody comes to the Father except through you. I thank you for how much you love us. I thank you that in this hot day, they've hung in here this morning, Lord. I pray that you would bless this mighty church, and we praise your name. And they all said, amen. Amen. Blessings.